Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Well, good morning. And again, it is great to be here. There's more and more people out there. As a matter of fact, I should have brought my phone up here. I want to take a selfie with me and all y'all. But it really is. It's a joy to be able to come back together and see more and more people coming out. And for those of you that are here with us, we praise the Lord that you're here with us, that we're here together. For those of you that are joining online, we praise the Lord that you're joining online. I love how John opened our service, really with a call, a simple, clear call to exalt Jesus. And that really is our purpose as followers of Jesus. Not just here today, that's our purpose for our life. We saw just last week, that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, to glorify, to lift up the Son, and that's what we do as well. Well, we're in our Genesis series, and we've already made it through into three verses, right? We've done two whole verses, and we're just making lightning speed here. And today, we're actually going to be kind of airing things out a little bit, though. We're going to be looking at most of the chapter today in a different way. But I want to remind you quickly what we've seen so far here, just in the first two verses of Genesis. We've seen that God is, right? We've seen that He exists. He is. And we've seen that He's the great creator. Just last week, we saw that He cares. And this week, we're going to see that God speaks. We're going to see that He says. And so as we're turning our hearts to the scripture here, I want to ask a quick question, though. Does it really matter? Do these things, do these ancient and deepest truths of the universe, do they still really impact us today? Do they really matter for us today? Yes, amen. Yes, amen. You know, the truth is, you don't have to look real far at all. I mean, the biggest things in the news today, at least here in our nation. You know, if you look at any news channel right now, you don't see coronavirus this and coronavirus that. You see rioting. You see hatred. You see murder. You see injustice. Does it matter that God is? You darn straight it does. Does it matter that He's the creator? Yeah, it does. Does it matter that He still lovingly, tenderly cares for His creation, for you and for me? Does it matter that He cares about injustice and justice? Does it matter that He cares about you and me and the people around us and how we think of each other and how we treat each other? All that matters. Boy, does it ever matter. The reality of God and that He is the sovereign over all of creation, it's never mattered more. One other thing in the news this week, not quite as big as all the rioting and hatred and murder that's going on in our nation right now. You may have seen this news story. There's a Christian group called Hawk Nelson. Anybody heard of them? Yeah. Well, Hawk Nelson, been around for a long time, Christian group, singing group. And their lead singer, a guy named Jonathan Steingard, just came out this past week and went public saying that he no longer believes in God. Now, when pressed, I read some articles, when pressed, he said that he would really, if he had to put a label on it, he said labels are icky, but he said if he had to put a label on it, he would say that he's agnostic. He's just not really sure if God exists. That's what he says. Some of the articles I read also mentioned, I didn't know this, I like their music, I haven't followed them closely, but he also struggles with depression, and he talked about his family and friends that have helped him, and I don't know this guy, I don't know what's going on in his life, but does it matter that God is? Boy, does it ever. God is the one who gives meaning to our lives. God is the one who sets us free from depression. Do all these truths here at the very beginning, do they help us live life today? They sure do, and we're going to see that again today. We're going to see that God speaks, and when He speaks, what He says is. So let's pray. Let's pray that the Lord will transform us. We've already sung it. We've already heard the gospel. God, I just love how you preach the gospel already, John, and through the songs that we've sung, we've preached the gospel again. Through the song that Bryce sang and the brothers up here played, we saw again that each of us has a need for God. And the truth is, the natural state of my heart and yours is wet wood. That is the natural state of our heart. And if we want to burn for Him, if we want to truly live a life that is aflame for God, and no question, that is the Holy Spirit's desire for every believer, that we would be aflame for Him. But the natural state of my heart is wet wood, folks. You know how you make a fire big? You feed it. You feed it. So today we want to feed the fire. Today we want to open up the Word of God and say, Lord, You make me a flame for You. Transform me by Your grace and Your truth in Your Word. That's what we're after. Will you join me now? Father, we are coming to You today, looking to You. Lord, our world is in utter chaos all around us. Lord, we thought coronavirus was bad, and now we've got murder in the streets in so many major cities. God, we need You desperately. We need You to give us peace, not peace in our streets. Lord, we got to start with peace with You. Lord, the issue for our nation and every nation on the earth is sin. We need a Savior from ourselves. Lord, we ask for Your mercy for our nation. Lord, we pray that You would work and that injustice would be shut down. Lord, some of the injustices that have moved to kind of spark this fire of murder and hatred in our nation, Lord, we pray You'd shut that injustice down. And Lord, the murder that's happened, the hatred that's happening now, we pray that You would shut it down. But Lord, we know you don't just work out there in the stratosphere somewhere in someone. Lord, You work in individual human hearts. So Lord, we pray for out there, and Lord, we pray for in here. Lord, by Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit's power, change us today. Lord, we want to burn for You. And Lord, through what we're going to see in Your Word today, Lord, I pray that what You say, that we would grab a hold of what You say, that we would believe You, and thereby You would change us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, but we're not going to be staying at verse 3 today. And I know some of you that know me well are like, yeah, we'll see. But we are. We're going to make some tracks today. We're going to look at a majority of chapter 1 today, but we're going to look at it a little differently. We're going to look at one particular phrase and how that phrase is repeated 9 times. You know, one of the keys to good Bible study when you're doing your observation, when you're just asking of the text, what does it say, right? What is there? What do I see? One of the things you look for, one of the easy things to look for is what's repeated. In Genesis chapter 1, 9 times, we see this phrase, and we'll start here with Genesis 1, verse 3. This is from the first day, right? We started the first day of creation last week, really, right? We got into the first day, and now we get into it all the more. The first day, Genesis 1, 3, then God said, and there's our phrase. God said. God speaks and things happen. What we're going to see through these 9 verses is what God says is. If God says it, it is. Just like that. This is how He spoke the universe into existence. So we see here in verse 3, on the first day, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So the thing that I want you to see, the thing that I believe the Lord wants us to see, and we're going to see it 9 times. God says, it is. God says, it is. Whatever He says, is. Not what He says will be, what He says is. So there's Genesis 1, verse 3. Let's go to the second day, Genesis 1, verses 6 and 7. Then God said, there's our phrase again, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. Verse 7, God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. There it is. God says it, it is. What God says is. Let's look at another one. Let's look at the third day. Genesis 1, verse 9. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God says it, it is. Same day, third day, Genesis 1, verse 11. Then God said, there's our phrase, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. Are you starting to see the pattern? Hello? I have real people here. Come on, peeps. I'm not talking to a camera anymore, although hello out there online. Do you see the pattern? It's very straightforward, isn't it? It's a very straightforward pattern. Let's go to the fourth day, Genesis 1, verses 14 and 15. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, verse 15, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Whatever God says, it is. You know, I feel really bad, and I mean this sincerely, for the lead singer of that group I mentioned earlier, John Steigar, the lead singer, the former front man. I'm assuming he's going to be the former front man now for that group, Hawk Nelson. Because the God who says and it is, now you've got the creation saying back to the Creator, I'm not even sure that you are. I have no judgment in my heart for that guy. I hurt for him because he's lost his way. He's lost sight of the most true thing there is, and that is God himself. God says, and it is. Let's keep going. Day 5, Genesis 1, verses 20 and 21. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. Verse 21, God created. So God says, and it is. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarmed, and after their kind, and every winged bird and its kind, and God saw that it was good. Let's look at the sixth day. Now the last day of creation. Starting in verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. There it is again. God says it, it is. God says, and it is. Let's look at Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. There it is. He says it, and it is. He says it, and it is. Let's look at one more here, the very end of the chapter, Genesis 1, verses 29 and 30. Then God said, behold, I have given you, he's speaking to Adam and Eve, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. So the pattern is clear. It's undeniable. Now, you can say you don't believe it or not, like this fellow, John Steiner. You can say, well, I'm not really sure if God even exists. But there's no question about the biblical record. The biblical record is clear. God says, and it is. That's the biblical record. So one question remains. One question remains. Do you believe him when he speaks? The biblical record is clear. God speaks and it is. The question that remains is when God speaks, will you and I believe him? We've already seen in previous weeks that the biblical writers from beginning to the end of the canon, they're all so clear that all that God has created speaks of him. not even speaks, screams, declares him. We've seen those scriptures. And yet, there are people who will still, seeing all that is, looking in a mirror and seeing the being that looks back at them, there are still people who will say, I'm not really sure God exists. Or worse yet, there is no God. And we saw what God says about those who say he does not exist. God says that they're fools. But the question reigns for you and for me and for everyone. God says, and it is. But what about the things that we can't see? When he speaks, will you believe him? When God says, it is, but will you follow that way? Will you live your life that way? That's the question that remains. Do you believe him when he says? You know, you and I, we are part of his creation. We're part of the creation that screams his existence. But that's not the same thing as you and me, even being followers of Jesus, right? That's not the same thing. One way I can say this is, I'm not asking, do you believe that God is? I'm asking, do you believe God when he speaks? Amen. Amen. I got my straight man right here. Thanks, Gert. When he speaks, do you believe him? Will you take him at his word? Is what he says true of you too? When God speaks about himself, or when he speaks about you, or when he speaks about this world, is that just as true? Is it just as much so as when he spoke and creation was? Well, I believe it is. Let's look at some scriptures here. Do you believe him when he says, I am God? In other words, will you believe what he says about himself? Look at Isaiah 45. He says, I am the Lord. And remember that word Lord. When you see this in certain translations, in certain English translations, when you see the word Lord and it's in all caps, okay, that's different from the word Lord when you have L and then lowercase O-R-D. Okay, L and lowercase O-R-D is usually a word that means Adon or Adonai. It means master. But when you see it in all caps or in short caps, that's God's memorial name, right? We've learned about this recently. That's his memorial name, Yahweh. It's his personal name. And remember, it means, it presses back into this idea of he's the self-existent one. In other words, we were all created, but he was not. This is no God of our making we're talking about. This is the real thing. He speaks and we become. And this is what God says of himself. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. You know who he says this to? He's saying this to a pagan king that he is using, Cyrus. And he is dropping some science on Cyrus. He says, I am the Lord. There is no other. Besides me, there is no God. God is saying to this, he's speaking this into a man who lives in a culture that doesn't believe this. Kind of like you and me, right? We live in a culture that doesn't believe this. Some people say that we're a Christian nation. I can't tell how. Was our nation founded on Judeo-Christian principles? Absolutely. But you read every single headline in the papers or on the internet news today, and you'll say, our streets are filled with hatred. I would not say we live in a culture that honors the Lord as God. But God, when he speaks to Cyrus here, he leaves no question. He goes on, he says, I will gird you, Cyrus, though you have not known me, because God is about to use him. God does this in the Old Testament. He uses pagan nations to spank other pagan nations and to spank his own people sometimes. And this is the context here. He says, I will gird you though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. Well, God has said it. Will you and I believe it? And I don't mean believe it like a head trip. I mean, will I believe it today in a way that changes how I live? Will you believe him today? He has spoken. He has said truth. Will you let it change how you live? That's the question. Will you and I take God at his word? We've already seen it. The pattern we get in Genesis 1 is what? God says, and it is. So what about when he speaks about himself? Will you and I welcome the truth of God that there is one God and there is no other? There's no one beside him. Will you and I let that trickle down into every nook and cranny in our soul and in how we think and in how we think about him and how we think about others? I was talking with somebody recently about lust and immorality. And how the Lord has had to work in my life as coming from a young man who I had given myself over to sexual immorality. And then the Lord saves me. And he had to change my thinking. I had to start taking his take on the women around me. And realize that everyone, like every woman I can see right now. Every woman I can see right now is made. Now we haven't looked at it press. That's weeks away. But every woman in here who is made in the image of her creator. Every woman in here is a God image bearer. You know what that does to a young man who's built habits of lust? It changes the way he deals and thinks about all those gals. Because it's supposed to. Will you let what he has declared about himself, will you let that change how you live? Will you welcome his godship, his sovereignty? Will you let that trickle down into every part of your being so that it changes? So that you say, in essence, what I hope you've already been praying this morning, honestly. I've been praying it this morning. God, have your way. God, win. Lord, I want you to win in me, not me to win in me. Because there is no other God that's right. And you and I, the truth is, we try to be our own God. I certainly do. So do you believe him when he says, I am God? Let's look at another one. Do you believe him when he says, I love you? Amen. Do you believe God when he says, I love you? This is just one of many verses we could look at. But I really like Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness, you remember, that's my favorite word in the Old Testament, right? Chesed. God's loyal love. He says, the earth all around you can shake. He says, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. You know what this is? This is how God loves. And there's nothing else like it. This is what God says of himself. It's his heart for you. So the question is, will you believe him? What he says is, this is his love for you. Will you believe him? When you are tempted to not believe that his love, his loyal loving kindness, he'll never remove it from you. The heavens and the earth can shake around you, and God says, my love for you is rock solid. Because remember, his love for us is not based in us. His love for us is not based in how well we did today. And praise Jesus for that, right? Amen. Amen to that. I was having some time with the Lord a few days ago. And I had stayed up too late the night before. I had not used my time well. And I was sitting there getting some time with the Lord. And I had this thought of guilt. And it was true. It was real. And you know what followed that thought of guilt? Because I made bad choice. I wasn't sinning. I wasn't doing anything wrong. But I didn't use my time well. And so it bumped my, you know, stayed up too late, got up later than I wanted, just wasn't on my day like I wish I had been. And I was feeling that guilt. And I'm going to tell you something really cool happened. The next thought that was right on the heels of that guilt, and the guilt was true. But the very next thought that was on the heels of that was, Mike, I love you. I got to tell you, I'm so glad that I'm growing in Jesus, because there's been many, many years of my life when that wasn't the very next thought on the heels of the guilt or the shame. And I've had to work hard, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, we're going to look at Romans 8:1, and I have to work hard to remember what God has declared over me. But just this past week, I praise the Lord, he just let it roll down. And honestly, I was able to just move on. I didn't have to sit there and, you know, beat myself with a wet noodle and feel bad. I could just say, Lord, thank you for your mercy in Jesus. And I could just move ahead. You know, that's what he's got for us. Will you believe him? When he says, when he declares, my love for you will not be removed, will you believe him? Because he says it, and it is so. What about this? Will you believe him when he says that Jesus is the only way? Look at John 14:6. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's about to go. He's just told them at the end of chapter 13, he said, I'm almost out of here. I'm going. And they say, well, you know, where are you going? We don't know the way. And this is what Jesus says. He says, I am the way. And it is interesting, in the original language, in the Greek, the definite article the is not required in Greek a lot of the time. But here Jesus uses it. He doesn't say, well, I'm a way. He says, I am. It's very definite. There's lots of supply words that don't have to be there. Jesus uses every single one of them. It's very definite. I am the way. And he goes on, nobody comes to the Father except through me. This is what God declares. This is what he says, and it is so. The question remains, will you and I live like that? Not do you believe it in your head. That's not my question. I don't believe that's the question he has for you and for me is, do you believe it? You know, cognitively, mental assent to a factoid, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, will you let this affect how you live? And I tell you, for me, as a follower of Jesus, I let the truth of Jesus is the only way. All right, we've already sung it. We sung it today because he paid for sin. I've already let that truth change me. I've humbled myself and said, Jesus, I don't want to live in my sin anymore. I want to trust you. I want you to take my sin away. As a follower of Jesus now, what this truth does for me is it challenges me regarding how I view others. In other words, if I really believe that Jesus is the only way, will I tell people about the only way that they can be saved? Will I let this truth move me as a follower of Jesus not to whack somebody on the head with the Bible? Not what I'm talking about. Not even close. Rather, will I let this truth move me to see people? Just like that, the truth of women created in his image changed the way I begin to think about females. This truth needs to change the way I think about unbelievers. One little aside here is it also means I should expect unbelievers to act like unbelievers. They need the same mercy of Jesus that I have found. If Jesus is the only way, and he says it, and it is, will I live my life like that? Will I let this truth move me to reach out to those who do not know him, to pray for them and to pray for opportunities to love them, to serve them, and to speak the gospel, to let them hear the name Jesus off of my lips? You know, the name Jesus Christ comes off a lot of people's lips today, but not the way I'm talking about. I'm talking about a way that that Jesus is glorified, where people can see something in us and then be able to hear something from us that glorifies the Son, right? Because he's the one who paid for their sin. God says it. It is, will I let it affect how I live today? What about this one? Do you believe, will you believe God when he says that you are free? Look at what Jesus says, John 8. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Man, I got to tell you, Jesus is such an awesome communicator. He doesn't say, the Son has declared you free. You're free. And that would have been enough. But he says, you're not just free, folks. What's he say? You're free indeed. He's saying, this means something. There's power here. You're really free. I don't feel free. You are free indeed. It's not about how you feel. God says it. It is. Will I let that truth change how I think about myself? Let's go to the very next one, because these are so related. Romans 8, 1 and 2. These are some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Y'all know that. Every believer on the face of the planet should have Romans 8, 1 and 2 hidden in their heart. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you don't struggle with guilt and shame. But if you're like me, and I'm guessing everybody that can hear my voice is like me in this one. If you are aware, I got to tell you, folks, there's sins I committed 4 decades ago. And sometimes, whether it's the world, the flesh, it was not the world, that's not so much it, but whether it's my flesh or the devil, whatever it is, sometimes those things will be brought back up to my thinking. I'm serious, even today. I've been pastoring for 20-something years. That's immaterial. That means nothing to my 3 real enemies. Remember, my 3 real enemies and your 3 real enemies, if you're in Jesus, you have 3 real enemies. They cannot steal you from the Lord. They can't take you out of his hand. But if you believe them over what God has declared over you, your 3 enemies, what they want to do is make you unfruitful. They want to make you ineffective. The very reason God has left us on this planet is to glorify Jesus by being a light in a dark place. And if you and I don't believe what he says, if we listen to the liar and the accuser of the brethren, and sometimes our own flesh, we will become ineffective. We will become unfruitful. We'll take our eyes off of Jesus, and my eyes off of Jesus, I don't care where else they could be, it's not good. It's not good. So will you believe when he says that there's no condemnation for you if you're in Christ? He says it. Folks, it is so. Now, will you believe him? I had a crisis of belief. I've referred to this with y'all before here from this pulpit. I had a crisis of belief some years back. I was already pastor. And I was struggling with this place where I was stuck. And I got to tell you, folks, I didn't realize it at the time, but as I look back now, I had a weight of shame on me. And the Lord and I had a conversation one afternoon in my office up at the church campus. This is back in Texas. And the Lord brought up Romans 8, 1 and 2. I thought, well, that's what I would say. If somebody with my presenting struggle were to walk into my office, what would I say to them? I'd say Romans 8, 1 and 2. I was like, I know Romans 8, 1 and 2. I've memorized Romans 8, 1 and 2. I've shared Romans 8, 1 and 2. I've encouraged other people to memorize Romans 8, 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2. And the Lord said, but do you believe me? And after a pretty fair wrestling match, I confessed to my God No, I don't believe you, but I want to. God doesn't speak truth and grace over us for us to cognitively let it stay stuck in our noggin and not change how we think and how we live, how we think about Him, how we think about ourselves, how we think about others, how we treat people, what we do in our motives and our will. That's why He declares truth over us. And the truth that He declares over you, believer, daughter of God, son of God, the truth that He declares over you is more wonderful than you and I can imagine, but we don't have to imagine it. He's written it in His Word. And that's how He deals with us, if we'll only take Him at His Word. Let's look at one more. Will you believe Him when He calls you to love like Jesus loves you? Will you take Him at His Word? Will you say, it is, He speaks it, so it is. Will you grab a hold of that with your life? When Jesus says, guys, I got a new commandment for you. Love everybody around you the way I've loved you. That is an impossibly high bar. It's supposed to be impossible. When it's impossible, you know what that moves us to do? Cry out for God's help. When it's impossible, it moves me to my knees to say, Jesus, if this is going to happen, you got to do it, because I can't. And I think at that moment, God's sitting up there and He goes, yes, He's getting it little bit by little bit. Jesus is the very power that I need to obey Jesus. But that's not cognitive assent. That's He says it. It is. Lord, let me live it out. Lord, help me. How do I live out the truth that You have declared about You, about others, about me? Lord, You said it, and it is so. Now, Lord, help me to live that way. Help me to put shoe leather on this thing, because that's what really enthrones Him. It's not when we give mental assent. It's when we take Him at His Word and live it out. Let's pray, and then I got one more verse. Father, we need You. We love You. Thank You for loving us. Lord, if You didn't love us, we'd be lost. Lord, thank You for that unmovable, unshakable love, Your great, loyal, loving kindness that You said You'll never remove from us. Oh, God, I can't even hardly imagine how that really works. But, God, I believe You, and I want to believe You more. Lord, I pray that I, and for every one of us, for everybody who's here, everybody who's watching this online, Lord, You speak, and it is. Lord, only let us believe You. Only let our hearts grab a hold of that truth that what You say is. Lord, the truth that You speak over us as Your sons and daughters. Oh God, save us from an empty, fireless life. Lord, take the wet wood of our lives, and Lord, we pray that You would supernaturally ignite it. Like Elijah called down fire from heaven. Oh God, would You ignite our hearts? And first, before anything else, to simply take You at Your word. Because You speak and it is. Lord, help us. Lord, for those that are hearing this message, that are not followers of Your raised up Son Jesus, God, we pray that You would grab a hold of those hearts. Let them see who You are. Let them see that You are the Lord and there's no other God beside You. And Lord, welcome them, woo them into a worship relationship with Your Son Jesus. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I got one more verse up there on the screen for you as we close out today. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. This is about His Word and about how His Word will have its way. Look what he says. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout. See that fruitfulness? He says, more than the water that comes down from heaven. He says, so my word will be, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. What God says is, today, take him at his word about what he says about himself. Today, what God says is, so take him at his word and what he says about those around you. And today, take him at his word in what he says about you. May the Lord bless you, and may you bless him as you follow close. Amen.